Welcome to Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth, the podcast of Plymouth United Church of Christ. I'm Pastor David, and on behalf of the members of this congregation, thank you very much for joining us. May God bless you through these words, and may you know God's love through them. Now, the podcast. Thank you.
you all in the name of Jesus, the Lord of life, in whom we are blessed and loved and called sons and daughters of God. Welcome. I got something in my throat all of a sudden. Not working so well. Good morning and welcome to Plymouth. Good to see you all. Oh, in this awful, awful long winter and snow and everything else that we got to notice from the city. Now we have to run water here to help keep our pipes from freezing, and I hope you all survived the last snowfall. We lost some limbs here. Hopefully no one had any damage to your homes, losing trees or giant limbs or roof cave-ins or anything, but spring will come. Spring will come. This has to end. I hope this has to end. I am tired of it. And I love snow and winter, and I am so done with winter this year. So let's have a good thought. Looking forward, Easter. Easter is actually late this year, but it's still sneaking up on us pretty quickly, and will be here sooner than we think, and hopefully it will bring spring with it. And you do have in your bulletins the flowers. We need to get our flower orders in for Easter by March 12th, so we do have the order forms for those already in your bulletins. I know it is possible to still order flowers even after that date, but to really be sure and ensure that we can get any flowers that you might want for Easter, we do need to have them in by the 12th, which is awfully early for an April 20th Easter, but that's the way the flower shop is this year. And we are almost on up to Lent. Ash Wednesday is March 5th. That's a week from this coming Wednesday. And as usual, we'll have the soup dinner before Ash Wednesday service. We'll have the service, including imposition of ashes and communion. And as in past years, we will continue the Wednesday night soup and scripture series. We're going to be looking at Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the realm of God. We'll look at those, but also this year, and I've talked to enough people that are interested in it, we're also going to do the soup and scripture at noon on the Wednesday, starting after Ash Wednesday, because we know not everyone likes to be out at night driving. So we do have enough people that are interested in doing a noon soup and scripture. We'll do the same thing that we would be doing at night, just gathering for a meal and some fellowship time, have some prayer, read some scripture, and have a discussion. So that will not be on Ash Wednesday. We're only having the evening service, but after Ash Wednesday, the following 5 weeks, we'll have our soup and scripture at noon and then at 6 p.m. So you got two options to come in. And also, you may have heard, but offer the sad news that John Hancock died on Wednesday morning. He'd been under hospice care for about a week and a half. So he died Wednesday morning, and B and family took him down to Missouri to his hometown. His funeral was in Hannibal, and he's being buried in Hannibal as well. So I'm hoping that B is back sometime, coming back this week sometime. And that is all I have. Is anything else? I need to go over. Ooh, excuse me. Need to go over in the life of the church. Barb.
I have empty old tickets the last 2 weeks, this weekend and the next weekend. That will let them in. So if you need them, let them know.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll
let
you
know.
Very good. And we do have some travelers. I know Mary Stegar is in Florida, and it seemed like someone else was traveling, but I don't remember who. But Mary should be back in a couple of weeks. That all said, then let us come together now and prepare our minds and hearts to worship God.
Thank you. Please rise if you're able for the call to worship. We are God's temple.
And God's Spirit dwells in us.
We belong to Christ.
And Christ belongs to God.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, you send the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, just as you send rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Give us grace to follow your example by showing as much kindness to our enemies as we do towards our friends, so that our lives are testimonies to your all-inclusive love for us and for the people outside the church. Amen.
Trusting in God's love and God's grace, let us come together in confession. Please pray with me. Holy God, your law shows us the way you want us to live in righteousness, but we forsake what you have commanded. We have insufficiently provided for the poor or aided the disabled. We have not been truthful in our daily business or our judgment of others. We have sought vengeance and not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us our sins. Rouse us to sincere repentance as you hold us in your loving arms. By the power of your Holy Spirit, free us to live as your holy people with Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Amen. My friends, God judges our sins, and our straying is wrong, but God never strays from us. In God's justice is mercy, and God's mercy is always an offer of grace, freeing us to live as God's beloved sons and daughters. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ, in whom you are forgiven. And may the peace of the Lord be with you all. Take a moment and share the peace of Christ with your neighbors. Barb to come up and share scripture. I just want to say before we get into this, we don't often read from Leviticus. I'm not sure how many times it actually shows up in the lectionary, but it's pretty rare. Leviticus being the book of the law, it's pretty dry reading most of the time. But this has some interesting things in it, commands. This is part of the law given to Moses before the people came into the promised land, doing a reading from the Message, so it's a little not so dry as it can be in other translations. And I think you'll find some interesting things in here that fits with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount words from today. So Barb, please come and share scripture.
God spoke to Moses. Speak to the congregation of Israel. Tell them, be holy, because I, God, your God, am holy. When you harvest your land, don't harvest right up to the edges of your field or gather the gleanings from the harvest. Don't strip your vineyard bare or go back and pick up the fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am God, your God. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't deceive anyone. Don't swear falsely using my name, violating the name of your God. I am God. Don't exploit your friend or rob him. Don't hold back the wages of a hired hand overnight. Don't curse the deaf. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Fear your God. I am God. Don't pervert justice. Don't show favoritism to either the poor or the great. Judge on the basis of what is right. Don't spread gossip and rumors. Don't just stand by when your neighbor's life is in danger. I am God. Don't secretly hate your neighbor. If you have something against him, get it out into the open. Otherwise, you are an accomplice in his guilt. Don't seek revenge or carry a grudge against any of your people. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am God. Please join me in the responsive reading of Psalm 119. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end.
Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it.
Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain.
Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways.
Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good.
See, I have longed for your precepts, and your righteousness give me life.
Thank you, Barb. Our gospel lesson is from Gospel of Matthew. We continue in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the fourth Sunday that we have been listening to Jesus' sermon. That goes on for a few chapters. We've heard, blessed are you, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, and you are the salt, you are the light of the world. And now he continues laying out some kind of ethics, ethical living for us, a new way.
of being God's people. And so hear now and listen for how God is speaking to you through these words from Matthew's Gospel. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. These are some difficult words that Jesus offers here. And I want to say, kind of just at the outset here, I want to say two things. One, I think most of our enemies, what we consider our enemies, however you conceive of that word, and that may be a stronger word than most of us are comfortable with. There are certainly the enemies that nations have, but the enemies that we have in our personal lives. I think many of the enemies that we have or that we consider to be enemies are constructs of our minds, that relationship exists maybe more in our mind than in reality, and exists because we failed to take a faith step to try to reconcile that relationship, to try to make that relationship something other than what it is, or at least to try to change it, maybe find out that it can't be changed, and then you know the truth. But our vocation as Christians, I think one of our vocations is to say to a world that likes to divide, that likes to have enemies and friends, that likes to be us versus them, part of our Christian vocation is to say to the world, we are not so easily satisfied with making such easy distinctions. We will go the extra mile to try to fix those relationships. But that said, that many of our enemies are constructs of our minds, there are real enemies. There are some real bona fide enemies out there. Enemies that maybe don't deserve our other cheek or our cloaks or the extra mile, though they do deserve our prayers, our compassion, our love, even our attempt to understand or to help, but not necessarily that we have to be in relationship with them. I think especially of those who abuse others. Spousal abuse, whether it be a husband or a wife or a parent abusing a child abusing a parent, or a babysitter or a teacher, or bullies at school, bullies at work, bullies in the church, a boss. No one deserves to be abused. No one deserves to be abused. No one ought to be forced to suffer continued abuse. That's a kind of enemy. I don't think Jesus is saying in that position that you just have to turn the other cheek, that you have to continue to suffer that kind of abuse. And there are, unfortunately, those out there. I've heard the stories, read the stories. Those out there in the religious community, the biblical, some literalists, some fundamentalists, who will counsel people who are being abused, especially wives, will counsel those wives that they have to stay in that situation, that they just need to keep enduring the abuse, and eventually, through their suffering, they'll change the hearts of the man who's abusing them. I think that's ludicrous. I don't think that's what Jesus means here at all. And some of those counselors will quote this scripture or what Jesus said last week about divorce or some other parts of scripture to say it is your duty to stay in that situation and not take care of your own needs. I think that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's an abuse of scripture, and it's a further abuse of the person being counseled, who is already being abused by someone else. It's one of the dangers of Jesus' words here, especially if one is in a position of power and uses them against someone who has less power than you. Something to be very careful about. And often, the literalists, the fundamentalists are, I don't know, I don't want to demean them or decry them, but it seems like they are often coming at Scripture more from an ideology of trying to support power differences than trying to find what God is really saying to us. And so they abuse, easy to abuse Scriptures like this. I think Jesus is offering in these words here a very different kind of picture. Not one that says you have to be a doormat or just continue to suffer abuse, or that power is good. Jesus offers an alternative worldview that there is power in weakness, that real power, godly power, Christian power, is in weakness. That's the power of the cross, of God becoming weak to die on the cross and to go to the cross. And in that whole journey to the cross, to offer nothing but forgiveness to those around him. God becoming weak to show, as I said in last Sunday's sermon, to show the power of choosing the way of life over the power of choosing the ways of death. Violence, power, vengeance, it's the power of weakness. The power of love. The power that says, I'm not going to use evil's tools, even to fight evil. I'm going to use the tools of love. So there are enemies that can be won over. There are enemies that could be won over. There are enemies to be defeated through nonviolence and through love. Gandhi took on the British Empire through nonviolence and helped liberate India. Martin Luther King Jr. using nonviolence. I mean, those are pretty big, dramatic examples. We're not all Gandhis, we're not all Martin Luther King Jr.'s, but there's something to be learned there of the power of using love and not using the tools of evil, of recognizing God's image in the people that we're up against. What if we heard the cries of our enemies and listened as though they too were people on whom God also sends the sun and the rain and whom God also loves? What if we saw them as people who also love their families and who greet their sisters and brothers? Jesus' way respects the God image of the people around us, respects the God image of the enemy, and suggests that we consider that maybe we're not 100% pure and they're not 100% evil or wrong just because we oppose one another at some level. What if our enemies have a legitimate complaint against us? Maybe there's something in that relationship that can be redeemed. What if, as the great Pogo once said, Walt Kelly's Pogo said, we have seen the enemy and he is us. What if? What if? It's not always black and white as to who is the enemy and who is the hero in any pair or in any
conflict. That's one of the beauties of diplomacy, is to try to find a way to come together. And so there is danger in this passage, in these words that Jesus said. If we take them really, really literally, there's this danger of using them as a weapon. Is using them a weapon as against other people, as I mentioned, telling the abused person they have to stay in the abusive relationship, that they have no path out, that they just need to pray their way out of it. It could also be used to abuse in other ways. I mean, in some sense, why not? And I would hope no one would do this, but why not? Yeah, just go up to someone and take their coat and say, hey, Jesus said you have to give me your cloak too. Sorry. It's the rule. It's what Jesus said. Or walk up to someone and punch him and go, hey, Jesus said I get to hit you again. You have to let me. And while you're at it, why don't you give me your iPad and your wallet and write a report for me for work. And if I don't get a promotion because you wrote it poorly, I'll come back. And be abused that way. There's nothing godly in giving up dignity or in taking someone else's dignity. That's certainly one of the dangers here in this passage. But there's another danger in what Jesus says. And this is a wonderful, incredible kind of danger. A good sort of danger in Jesus' words, because they have the capacity to change the world. They have the capacity to fight evil, to change the world into the way that God imagines it. They can put us on the path to defeat evil by not buying into evil's agenda, but by stepping around it, by using a different method to say, you don't have power over me. I'm not going to let you have that power over me. I will meet you with love, meet you with grace. And that's always been the danger of Christianity, the danger of the gospel to change the world, the danger of Jesus' words to liberate people. And this is one of the reasons that Christianity is often made illegal in oppressive countries, tyrannical countries, and dictatorships, because the message of liberation is so strong. It's one of the things that the slave owners feared here in the U.S. is if the slaves heard too much of the message of liberation, they might get ideas and want to be a free people. There is danger in Jesus' words, this danger to liberate, to change the world. You have heard it said, stand your ground, but I say to you, change the systems that lead to those situations where you need to stand your ground. Or you have heard it said, lock your car doors when you drive through that area, but I say, go be with the people. Go help make it not that area, but make it our area. Work on those relationships. You have heard it said, illegal immigrants, but I say to you, a person can't be illegal. They're all mine. I made them. They're in my image. I entrust them. In fact, I entrust them to your care. Don't harvest all of your crops. Leave some for them to have so that they don't go hungry. There can be power in allowing our faces to be slapped. Both the power of resistance that may shame someone who's trying to hurt us, a way of saying you don't have that power over us, although again, don't take that too literally. I don't want you to just stand there and be abused. That's not what we're calling for, but the power of turning the other cheek to not let others control you. There is something as we turn the other cheek, right? Picture this. We turn the cheek. As we turn the cheek, maybe one thing Jesus is saying to us as we turn the cheek is that by turning it, we get a different perspective. We see the world from a different angle. Jesus saying, maybe you need to change, sometimes you need to change your perspective as well. Yeah, I think of the church and religion in general for the past number of decades. The church has been getting slapped, in a sense. Getting slapped by the outside culture. Getting critiqued and whatnot. We've not been real good at turning the cheek necessarily. Not always been good at turning the cheek to the slaps that we've received, but have continued with business as usual, shuttering ourselves in and standing our ground and not listening maybe like we should have to the people on the outside that do critique us, that do want us to live more fully into the words that we say and the words of Jesus, you know, the person that we say we follow. We have often brought old answers that aren't as relevant anymore to a world that has changed, that's different. It's time, an exciting time for the church, a difficult time, certainly. Change is always difficult. But perhaps time to turn the other cheek and seek more human-affirming and life-giving ways, to being active and present, speaking to the real anxieties of today's world. I think the UCC has been good at that. We here at Plymouth have been good at that, going out into the community and doing things and serving the people. But there's much more that could be done. And the words that Jesus uses here, he uses a lot of action words. Love your neighbor. Pray for your enemies. Give your cloak. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. He's talking about a ministry of presence, a ministry that's lived in the world, not holed up at home or kept within the walls of the church, but a faith lived, a ministry of doing, being present in the world, a move away from violence or apathy and into peace and action, loving action, compassionate action, Jesus's relentless unwillingness to let evil win. Now, Gandhi has a quote on here, an eye for an eye makes the world blind. Or how can your neighbor see Jesus' light if you pluck his eye? Or how can your neighbor feed on the bread of Christ if you take her tooth? Loving action, love your enemy. And one might say, well, then, if I love my enemy, then what is the difference between an enemy and a friend? Jesus. Clever Jesus. Love your enemies, love your friends. And Jesus ends by saying, be perfect. Be perfect as your God is perfect. Which I don't think means don't ever do anything wrong. I don't think God is, or Jesus is telling us we need to be something that we cannot be. I don't know any human being that can be perfect. I think Jesus knows that. Not giving us this impossible task that we can never live up to. Maybe perfect, be perfect as a state of being. Be perfect, be faithful. Perfection as a way of being. We're made in God's image, and if God is perfect, then there's something indwelling in us of God's perfectness as well. So maybe this call to be perfect, not a command, be perfect, but an invitation from Jesus. Be perfect. An invitation to be who we are. Be like your Father in heaven. Be like me. Be perfect like God is perfect. This invitation to be who we are in God's image. To be the people who love our enemies, who pray for them, to be the people who meet evil with unconditional love, and to be the people who live these dangerous worlds, that these dangerous words that can change the world. Let us be those people. Let us live like that. Amen.
So then love will flow through. this morning, but anything else, any joys or concerns you'd like to pray for this morning? Yes, Lily.
Some joys. My sister and I both made it back from Florida in spite of snow and bad weather. We came back safely.
All right. Made it back from Florida.
Just FYI, it was 75 and sunny. Just saying.
It's hard to imagine. Okay, I went out yesterday, it was 9, and it just felt so nice. Oh, it's 9. Thank God. Ooh. I'm glad you both made it safely. Yeah, your sister was traveling on Thursday. That was a rough day. Any other joys or concerns? All right, well then, let us be together in prayer. God of life, God of love, you who have shown us through Jesus the power of weakness expressed in love, and the weakness of power used for its own gain, you call us to pray for enemies and to love them as we love our friends. Give us your spirit of love, your spirit of faithfulness to live that command as fully as we can, for it is a difficult task. In our human frailty, to find ways to love those who hurt us, those we fear, those who have done an injustice against us. Help us to find a way to pray for them, to be the people you want to be, and to remind us and to keep before us that you have shown us the way of the cross. The power of loving weakness, loving vulnerability, and loving compassion. So we pray this morning for those we often pray for and those that we more often forget to pray for. And so we pray for those who are hungry and pray harder for those who won't feed them. Pray for those who struggle to pay bills. And pray harder for those who don't care about their plight. And pray for the homeless. And pray harder for those who deny them shelter. And pray for the sick and lonely. And pray harder for those who will not give them comfort. Pray for those who cry out for dignity. Pray harder for those who will not listen. Pray for those oppressed by unjust wages. Pray harder for those who exploit them. Pray for those who suffer the yoke of prejudice. Pray harder for those who discriminate against them. Pray for those whose basic needs are denied. Pray harder for those who treat them unjustly. We ask you, Holy God, to lift up all who suffer, they may know release and relief and comfort, but we change the hearts of those who cause suffering, including our own hearts. Change the suffering that we cause. Help them and help us to see the damage that we do. And relieve from them, relieve from us, whatever suffering or anxiety they have that drove them to where they are. Help us all to find the inner peace to love one another. Help us to be your perfect people who can bring the light and salt and the bread of life to those that we fear or are angry with, those we mistrust, those we label as the enemy. Until such time as we are able to make no distinction between enemy and friend. We pray also for your church in this journey. We pray for your church to be the beacon of hope and life, to speak against abuse of any kind and to cease abusing. Pray for your church to be willing to listen to those who challenge us to follow Jesus' words more faithfully, to be good presence in our communities, to welcome all people, to be a place of refuge for the hurt and tired, and to be an agent of change, active and present, engaged in our communities, relieving the anxieties of today. Send to us your hurting people, your tired, your suffering. Send to us all who need your words of hope and love. Send us all who need a neighbor who loves them. Let us be that church, God. Fill this space with people who need to hear your good news. And inspire us to find and invite them in, so that your light may be seen in all of Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley. We pray this morning for those who are hurting. We pray for Bee as she grieves John's death. We pray for all of her family and John's family as they grieve their loss, father and grandfather, husband and friend. We pray for all who are sick, all who have been suffering under the crud and the bugs going around, all who are suffering the stir craziness of being stuck inside and unable to go out because of bad weather. We pray for those who have lost pipes to freezing or roofs to snow, or trees to snow. We pray to you in joy for all that is good in the world, which there is so much. We give you thanks that Audrey and Lily have made it back from their travels in Florida. Pray for Mary and her travels as she is in Florida. Pray for safe return for her and a safe return for me and family from Missouri. And we pray to you now in silence, Holy One, the prayers that are heavy on our hearts, or the prayers of joy that lift us up, hear us in our silence.
us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Jesus, to love friend and enemy, alien and native, brother and sister, the righteous and the lost. And may Christ, the sure foundation, uphold you.
May the Spirit of holy wisdom guide you.
And may God, perfect love, grant you peace. Let us all say amen.
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 Lead me, Lord.
The good news for this day and for all days. Thank you again for listening to the Sermons and Sounds of Plymouth podcast. If you are in the Eau Claire area, we especially invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. And I invite you also to check out our website at pcucc.com for upcoming events and special worship services. From Plymouth United Church of Christ, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, this is Pastor David. Thank you for spending this time with us. May God bless you.